The scripture reading this morning comes from John 14, verses 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
It's always good to be here with you to study a portion of God's Word and to learn a little bit from what He has for us to learn and to be able to take that with us and hopefully apply it in our daily lives. I've already demonstrated, and I'll share this with you because it's very important as we go through this subject and this study, that I am capable of making mistakes, as I did in the class this morning, where I thought I had read something that I hadn't. That being said, I say that to say this. We're about to go into a study over the next at least 3 weeks, and depending on how my studies go and whether or not I prepare some more, we'll be looking at the idea of the Holy Spirit. And this is a subject that is difficult for a lot of people, so I believe that's the reason that it is a subject that is overlooked by most people. We come to find if we don't understand things in life, generally we just don't talk about them. That's just human nature. You know, when you get together with your friends and you get together to discuss things, you discuss things that you understand and that you know, because that's where you're comfortable. We need to get to a point where we can be comfortable with talking about the Holy Spirit. But, again, as I say, it can be a little bit difficult for us to understand. And so I will encourage you as we go through this study that if you find anything said to be an error, or if you find some things that you would like discussed and said or brought forth, your response and your feedback would be a benefit both to me and to the entire congregation. Now, as we get started, we can see that the backdrop for our lesson this morning, or the starting point, is from John the 14th chapter, verses 25 and 26. What we have here is Jesus speaking to his disciples regarding his departure. He does not want them to be without assurances, and he assures them that the Father will send the Holy Spirit in his name for the continued efforts of the disciples. Verse 26 is one of the few verses in the Bible that mentions the three persons of the Godhead. That's another thing, and that's probably why we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot, is because the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. The Godhead consists of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different beings that are one. There's your confusion right off the bat, right? How can three be one? Or, how can one be three? And so we're going to look at the idea of, first of all, who the Holy Spirit is. And we're going to try and answer that question, and we're going to try and do it not based on what I think the Holy Spirit, or who I think the Holy Spirit might be, or who maybe Joe Bunting thinks the Holy Spirit might be, but I want to look at it from the idea of who God tries to teach us through His Word the Holy Spirit is. And I said, we spend an awful lot of time learning about God the Father, don't we? We talked about in our class this morning how what's unique about Esther is that it's one of the few books in the Bible, if not the only, that God is not mentioned. So we spend a lot of time studying about who God the Father is, and I think most of us feel pretty comfortable in talking about who God the Father is to other people. We also spend a lot of time learning about His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that He's the one that suffered and died for each and every one of us and everyone else in this world. We understand that every week we perform a memorial to that very fact as a remembrance that God and Jesus Christ have commanded us to do. It's not confusing to us. It's something that we understand, and therefore it's something that we study and talk about. We don't spend near that time studying about the Holy Spirit. We don't see it presented in Bible classes very often, or if we do, it's very quickly, kind of run through. There's three, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. Now let's start talking about the Father and the Son. Or we don't hear it spoken of from the podium. And my belief is, or perhaps one possibility is, that the belief is so misunderstood, not just amongst us today in the Lord's church, but throughout the religious world in general. There's a lot of confusion. An example. God's Holy Spirit, this is from the Jehovah's Witnesses, God's Holy Spirit is not a God, is not a member of the Trinity, is not co-equal, and is not even a person. It is God's active force. Maybe even like a radar beam. Right out of the watchtower from the Jehovah's Witnesses. Is that how we think of the Holy Spirit? Do we think of the Holy Spirit as not truly being a part of the Godhead, not being a part of the Trinity, and not being co-equal with God and Jesus? And possibly not even as a person. Well, do we even view the Holy Spirit as a person? And we're going to look at that this morning and how he can be a person. So we can see just from this one example, there is tremendous misunderstanding in the Word today. There are some things that we won't know about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's by God's design. There is no doubt that there are things that we may never know. And we won't know until maybe we get to heaven and we stand across the face from God and we ask Him those questions that we have. But I've mentioned this before and I believe it to be true. And I would encourage anybody, if they don't, to show me where that this may not be true. I believe that God has set it this way for us. God in His infinite wisdom has not given us every answer so that we will not stop searching for those answers. There are going to be things that we just don't know. And if you want to know, write them down on a sheet of paper, like I said, and Lord willing, when you're in heaven with Him and in her eternal home, you can ask Him those questions. And you can get the answers. But you can't get them from me. And you're not going to get them from any other member in this congregation, because there are some things that we just don't know. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things belong to God. Why would He teach His people about secret things if there weren't any? Right? So there must be some things that we won't know. But that which is revealed belongs to all of us and to our children, that we may do the words of His law. So what does that mean? That means I don't have to know everything about the Holy Spirit in order to do God's law, doesn't it? But you notice I didn't say I don't have to know anything. I said I don't have to know everything about the Holy Spirit in order to do God's law. The Holy Spirit is God. Would everybody agree with that? Okay, I see some head nods. We're going to study that. He is a third person of the Trinity. And we're going to look at that. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit as a divine person. He is God the same way that God the Father is God. He is God the same way that God the Son, or Jesus Christ, is God. He is, in fact, the third person of the Trinity. And we're going to look at Him as a divine person. Okay? So if somebody asks you, who or what is the Holy Spirit, we hopefully, by the end of this lesson, will be able to teach people He's a divine person. Okay? Not because I say He's a divine person, but because I believe that we can see from Scripture that that's what's taught. So the Holy Spirit is a person. That does not necessarily mean, however, a physical body. Consider Luke, the 24th chapter, and verses 36 through 40, if you'll turn there. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 40. "Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet." So a spirit does not have a physical body, right? Isn't that what Jesus is teaching them here? A person can actually be defined as a being characterized by conscious apprehension, rationality, and a moral sense, or a being or person possessing or forming the subject of a personality, according to Webster's Dictionary. Do you see in this dictionary, by man's own definition of what the word is of a person, that it says it requires a physical body? Okay. Nowhere in there does it say that, and Christ teaches that a spirit does not have a physical body. But let's look at some proof of this proposition that we can call the Holy Spirit a person. Christ has often spoke of the Holy Spirit as a person. There are some 10 uses of personal pronouns which designate a person. We're going to look at just a couple of those so that we can see how this is the case. The first thing that we find is that he possesses the characteristic of a person in that he has intellect. Look at Romans the 8th chapter and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He has intellect. He searches their hearts and knows their mind. The Holy Spirit also has love, which is a characteristic of being a person. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." With what? Or through what? Through the love of the Spirit. The Spirit loves. We also find out that the Spirit has a will. We all understand what a will is. Some of us are often characterized as being very strong-willed or very, very weak-willed. But we understand the idea of a person having a will or something that motivates or keeping them going. The Holy Spirit has will. First, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills," or "as he chooses." But he can do that. It's done through his will. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 8. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." What else do we know about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does the same type of work that a person does. And there's a lot of confusion today, and I hope to put together a lesson in my studies on exactly how that looks when we talk about the works of the Spirit, because I believe there's an awful lot of misunderstanding and a lot of abuse in the, quote, religious world today as far as the works of the Holy Spirit. But some of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he speaks. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says," or speaks, "that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines." So he speaks, or he says. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 10, starting at verse 19, says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." The Spirit can speak. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and His word was on my tongue." The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. We'll go through a couple more of these because they're short. Mark 13:11 says, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as what? As the Spirit gave them the utterance. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And lastly, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. One of the other things that man does is man teaches. We understand that. We all go through. We spend 18 years of our life at least being taught. Well, maybe 13 since we start at 5. But we spend at least 13 years of our life being taught and learning. Well, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How can we understand what the Holy Spirit teaches if we don't understand what the Holy Spirit is? If we don't study who the Holy Spirit is, how can He teach us anything? If we don't recognize and understand a little bit about who this being or this divine person, as I believe we're going to find, is. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and do not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. The point being, you gave them your good spirit for what? For instruction. For teaching. To give them knowledge. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. When they bring you to the synagogue and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Not my words. I'm not the one that's decided that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. God is the one telling me that the Holy Spirit is a teacher.
Amen.
It's not my words. And lastly, John chapter 14, verses 23 and 26, which we kind of looked at in the beginning as our backdrop, but going back just a little bit further. Actually, let's just do 14, verses 23 and 24 at this point. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And he goes on, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you and the things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus Christ reminds the apostles that the Holy Spirit will teach you and bring to remembrance all the things that I've already said. He's going to be a teacher. The Holy Spirit also guides. We understand that man is, can be, a guide for others. In John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, we see another attribute. We see that he guides. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. There it is again that he is a speaker. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So this verse actually covers both him being one who speaks and one who guides. The Holy Spirit can also forbid one from doing something. I don't know if we ever think about that.
But I think we all understand what the idea of the word forbid is. When we're growing up and we want to do what we want to do and our parents tell us, I forbid you from doing that, what are our parents telling us? Or when I say to my son, I forbid you to do that, what am I doing? I'm preventing you from doing it, right? I'm not going to allow it to happen. Well, the Holy Spirit has that same ability and does that same thing. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to get into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. There were two places that they were forbidden to go, right? They couldn't go to Asia, and they couldn't get into Bithynia, because the Spirit forbid it. It's the very same attributes that we as people have. We also understand, and we're taught, that we need to search the Scriptures. Searching is a part of what a human does, what a person does. Okay? Let's not say human, let's say person, because that's what we're talking about. It's what a person does. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. He teaches us, and He speaks to us, because He searches the deep things of God. Do you think we need the Holy Spirit today? Yeah? I think we need the Holy Spirit today. Do you think we need to understand exactly how it is that He does that, or get an idea of how He's doing that for us? Absolutely, we need to get an idea of how He's doing that. I'll go back to, will we know everything? No. But we'll know everything that God wants us to know. And that's all that matters. We will know what it is that God wants us to do, and He will tell us. But the Holy Spirit is important. And if He's important, then He's something that I should talk about. And if I'm going to talk about it, and I only talk about things that I know and understand, then I need to get busy and start learning about them. It's really that simple. You know, before you ever picked up that violin and started playing it, you didn't know a thing about how to do it. But you studied it, and you learned it, and then you could talk about it, because you spent the time and you did the work and you studied. That's true of any sports. That's true of anything you do on your job. When you get your job, you don't have a clue how to do what they're going to have you do you? You know they're going to give you something to do. They're going to teach you how to do it, and they're going to expect you to do it. And then you're going to dedicate your time and your energy into learning how to do so, so that you can do it, and you can do it effectively. If you want to effectively speak about the Holy Spirit, you have to put time in and do the work. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit also witnesses. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. And see now, I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies, or in some translations, witnesses in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. The Holy Spirit witnessed to him, letting him know what was going to happen. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us today, letting us know what will happen. He teaches us the deep things of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after He has said before. And lastly, 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and is the Spirit who, and it is, excuse me, it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Second time today, right? Second verse we found stating that these three are one. Might want to mark that down, because it's not mentioned very often. But here is another one of the very few times that he makes mention of all three. The point being, the Spirit bears witness. the spirit suffers the indifference and injuries of a person. We've all been through the difficulties of what we feel when somebody could care less about us. They don't care who we are. They may walk all over us. They may injure us in some way because we're not looked at as being worth anything. I think we've all experienced it, or at least felt like that's how people are looking at us. Well, the Holy Spirit can suffer the indifference and injuries of a person. Okay? Important to ask yourself this. If you're not studying about the Holy Spirit, if you're not learning about who He is, aren't you guilty of being indifferent about who He is? So aren't you causing yourself, the Holy Spirit, to suffer? Because the Holy Spirit can suffer indifference. And we are showing Him indifference by not studying who He is and what He means. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So He can be grieved. He can be spited or insulted, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy of him who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? The Spirit can be insulted. Do we want to insult the Holy Spirit by saying, you're not worth the time, you're not worth the effort to study about, you're not important enough for me to know? See, my wife, she expects me to understand and appreciate what she likes, whether I do or not. And it's insulting to her if she tries to come to me and tries to share something with me and I just ignore it. Doesn't that make you feel bad? She's smiling. Yes, it makes her feel bad. And I'm sure every other spouse here would say the same thing. We feel insulted when we have something that's important to share, and the person that's supposed to be most important to us here on this earth doesn't care enough to hear it. Okay? The Holy Spirit has something to share. And He wants to share it with you, and it's insulting when you say, I don't want to hear it. And the Holy Spirit can be lied to. I'm sure all of us can reference in Acts the 5th chapter, verse 3, the story of Ananias, or the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And we see in verse 3 that Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Isn't it interesting that he makes a point of saying, you have lied to the Holy Spirit? He doesn't say, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to me? Because it's worse than that, isn't it? He's making a point. You have filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter's saying, he's more important than I am. Yeah, he is, because he's part of the Godhead. So if you lie to the Spirit, you lie to God. You don't want to lie to God, do you? It's important. So, I think we can see that the Holy Spirit carries the characteristics of a person. So we can say the Holy Spirit is a person. But can we say that he carries the characteristics of being divine? Anyone in here a divine person? Well, Chris, that was quick. But think about it. Ask yourself, can you say, I'm a divine person? If you can, I want to sit down and talk to you. Because either you're right and I'm wrong and I want to figure it out, or we need to discuss it and make sure you get back on the right track. Something to think about. Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and Romans 1 and 20 help us to define what divine is. Acts 17, verse 29 says, therefore, since we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature, like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. So something that is divine is not something shaped by man's devising. It's something beyond that. It's something better. Romans verse chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The very things that God has created help us to see His divine nature when we look at that and we understand who God is. And you have to go back and you have to ask yourself, if God and the Spirit are one, then if God is divine, is not the Holy Spirit divine as well? Let's get some proof for this proposition. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the account of Ananias and Sapphira, the Spirit is called God. He says in verse 3 that we looked at, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Then going on in verse 4, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Which, well, didn't he just say before, "You lied to the Holy Spirit, why have you done it?" Is he changing his mind here and saying you lied to someone different? Or is he just using a different name for God and a different description for who God is when he says that? The Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of that which is deity. The Holy Spirit, like God, is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from your dead works to serve the living God?" So the Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing, just as God is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Didn't we just say earlier that we will not know everything that God has for us to know? Now we can see the Spirit does know everything that God has for us to know. He's all-knowing. He's beyond what we can comprehend, or He can comprehend beyond what we can. And He's all-present. Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. "Where can I go from your Spirit?" Right off the top. "Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be lighted about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, for the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Where can I go that you are not there?" Right? Where can I go that the Spirit isn't there? So He possesses the attributes. He also does the work of deity. He was involved in creation. Do you ever think about that when you think about the Holy Spirit? Think about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we stop there a lot of times. Who created the heavens and the earth? God. Look a little further. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." God was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And we don't see it from this verse, but we do from John chapter 1 and verse 1. Christ was there as well. All three were there in the beginning. Part of the work of the deity was to create this world, and the Holy Spirit was involved. He had a part in the work. We see it in the providence of nature. Psalm 104:30 says, "You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." You send forth your Spirit, and they are created. So the Spirit does the creating, right? Or the renewing. He works or is involved in miracles, according to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the Spirit of God is also involved in the working of miracles. And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, why was the Spirit given? For the profit of all. The Holy Spirit was given to us for a reason. It was for good for us and to profit us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. There's that verse again, and that phrase, as He wills. He's involved in all those things for the good of His creation. So what's the conclusion? I believe that if someone were to ask us, who or what is the Holy Spirit, I believe from the scriptures we've looked at today, the Holy Spirit is the divine person. I believe the Word of God teaches it. I don't care what man has to say about it. Unless they can counteract and prove something different from Scripture, and I believe that's what Scripture proves. I also believe at this very time, one of the things that He's doing, if you want to know if He's involved in your life, is He's involved right now in inviting you to come to Christ. Revelation 22:17 said, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Hopefully, you can take a few things with you. I hope that you've taken down and written down all the verses that we've looked at because we move fairly quickly. But I hope that you'll take this beginning and see this really, these are the beginning nuggets of understanding the Holy Spirit. In order for us to appreciate something, we need to understand to some degree what it is. And now we understand what the Holy Spirit is. We understand He's a divine person. So now, let's study about this divine person and find out, well, what does that mean to me? But for the close of this hour, ask yourself, if you've not become a Christian, do you recognize and can you hear there's an invitation from that Holy Spirit to you right now, telling you to come? And are you willing to tell that very Holy Spirit or show that Holy Spirit that He's important, that you appreciate the offer and you're willing to come? Or, as if I might ignore my wife and not do something, are you insulting Him by saying, "I don't want to accept your invitation. I don't want to come to you right now because, you know what, you're not important enough for me to do that." You alone can make that decision. Or, if you've accepted the invitation to come, to be buried in the waters of baptism, to rise again, but you stopped listening to the Holy Spirit, you stopped paying attention to what He has to say, and therefore have, once again, I believe, insulted Him, and it pricks you to your heart to realize that, and you recognize that that's wrong, and you don't want to insult Him any longer, and you want to follow after what He has to say, you have that option as well. Whatever need you have, the members of this church stand confident and ready to support you while we stand and sing.